So my name is Bronwyn Young, and my position is Program Coordinator for the Smithers Passage Transition House.
So the Passage Transition House has been operating in Smithers for 30 years?
Even more.
Yeah? Can you tell me a little bit about, I guess, the beginning of it, how it came to be?
So our executive director, Carol Sechuk, when she moved to the Valley, started the Transition House as the foundation of NSDP, really. And so she is the original runner of that and is still providing a lot of support through her executive director role.
So the new build has included new units for women and women with children, as well as a longer duration for them to stay at the house. How will that affect this transitional time for women and children escaping violence?
Hopefully immensely. One of the main things that we see reoccurring for women is that there's no place to go after, mm-hmm. and that the isolation, the violence, the trauma has real effects in real life, things like what their income is and what their ability to be in community is. So this will be a buffer for these women and children to be able to stay longer. A transition house, which is the passage house, those stays are typically around a month, not very long. It can be longer, it can be shorter, but it's very temporary. These 12 housing units, there's 6 specifically for women and children who are leaving violence, and then 6 for young mothers who are needing some extra support to help parent their child. So the timelines for those is 1.5 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And in that time, they have access to the programming that they need specifically for them. They get to help say what that will be, help decide what their programming will be. And it is a program agreement, not a rental agreement. So there's, you know, stipulation with that, that they're really in the place that they're wanting to get that support to move forward, and they're ready to do that, and we'll be there for them.
Wow. I didn't realize that it's a programming agreement, one, and also that they're able to, or not able to, but that it's a creative space to kind of envision what they need to transition, and also, you know, maybe with the space and the confidence to try new things that maybe that they hadn't had the confidence to before, no one was pushing them to before. So I didn't realize that. That's really important.
Yeah, it's really great to have the space and the time for skill building and confidence building. And we are really creating a little community back there, which is really exciting for the whole community. And, you know, women and children deserve to have this time to find out who they are, not in relation all the way to the trauma, but who they are as a bigger part of themselves. I'm really excited to be able to witness and support that growth.
Excellent. I guess now this one's a little more personal to you as well, but as a coordinator, what is your main role, but also what do you feel that you do in your position that maybe surprised you or that you didn't plan was going to be part of your job?
I came into it with no real experience in transition house work. My background is really with maternal health. So I have been a doula for over 20 years, helping moms and families with the entrance of their new child. And women's health has always been something that's been really a passion of mine. And understanding that key supports at the right times can make all the difference over time for somebody. So it didn't surprise me necessarily what women were sharing that their experiences were. I think that if we're curious at all, we can have a good understanding of some of the things that that are experienced behind closed doors. But what surprised me, I think, is over the years, the mental health and addictions piece has grown exponentially. Trauma, mental health, addictions, they all hold hands, but this is something that is bigger than it was when I started 10 years ago. Also, it surprises me some of the concern that the community has with shelter or coming into a shelter. And so I really encourage anybody who is experiencing any kind of violence at home, and there's lots of different types. If you've never been to a shelter before, please come and have tea. Come see how much of a home environment it is, how it's not probably what you think it is. We do have limits to what we can support, And so know that if mental health and addictions are not part of your story, that that doesn't mean that you won't be safe in that space, mm-hmm. that we support everybody to the best of our ability. And if we aren't the support for you, we can definitely help connect you to who might be.
So this week is the last week of 16 Days of Action. And the goal of these 16 days are to bring awareness to the issue of violence against women. So not that I need to tell you this, but just kind of for some context, that the UN suggests that one solution really lies in robust responses, including investment in prevention. Mm-hmm. However, data on how much nations are committing to counteract violence against women and girls still remains glaringly sparse. Does Passage House or NSDP participate in prevention measures? And if so, what are they?
We do. So I want to just first give a shout out to the men who are doing the work. I believe that that's where the solution lies, mm-hmm. is with men being a much bigger part of the solution. To the men who call out when they see another man doing something inappropriate, saying something inappropriate, to the man who has those uncomfortable conversations with their friend, to the man who chooses not to use violence himself, thank you. We need more of that, and I hold you up. Thank you so much. So as far as, community prevention, we have at NSDP something called the camp program, where we go to typically planting camps. They're remote, they're co-ed, they're typically young, healthy people, and sexual violence, harassment, other forms of violence against women happen in those camps. So we have now, again, part of the men being the solution, one of the presenters is a man. It makes all the difference. So that has been really helpful and has expanded exponentially since we started, because people are seeing that it helps. And so we've moved into wildfire camps. We're in Alberta. There's more people who are better familiar with that here, but that's a great program. Also doing public speaking, talking to you, having conversations with people who have the ability to make change, collaborate. Prevention is tricky in that trauma is intergenerational. So it's finding a place where we can be the support that the person wants and needs, and recognize that they are the best person to understand their story and know what they want and need. Prevention starts young. And so NSDP has lots of amazing programs and counselors for, children all the way up to seniors.
You know, I feel like so often I'm asking the person who's the busiest to give me their time. And I mean, that's kind of just how life works. If you want something done, just ask a busy person.
Yeah.
But what supports do you feel that you would like to see also in the community? I'm not sure if that's something you feel comfortable answering, but, are the RCMP are they doing enough? Are their programs proactive? Maybe even in, town council as well? Is there kind of supports that you would like to see in the town, or ones that you want to shout out maybe as well?
I think that the RCMP are doing a better job in understanding trauma response, mm-hmm. in understanding disclosures and what that can look like and how it doesn't follow a perfect line typically. So I would be encouraged by that and really like to see more people in positions of authority, in positions of decision-making, get that trauma-informed understanding, mm-hmm. about what happens to the brain, what happens to the body, and how it doesn't maybe look like what you think it's going to look like. I think that that would be helpful. I think that that's a gap that could, I see that happening in the RCMP, and I'm grateful for that. So that's a gap that could still be brought together. I think that, we all are witnessing these same problems that are pretty out in community, where violence and trauma and dysregulation are rampant. What we deal with at transition houses are more what happens behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. They're often things that families feel shame about, that, sometimes it feels like that the only thing that a family has a harder time with than the abuser is the truth teller. And so how do we get the narrative to shift on whose responsibility is it to not use violence. Mm-hmm. I think that's, and where are the skills to do that? Yeah. Because people come from different places, people have different skills. Not every man who uses violence wants to use violence. So, you know, having our men's program be funded sustainably is a gap. That would be amazing.
How can people support NSDP? Maybe that's monetarily, or what kind of supports would help NSDP from the community?
We all miss Misjudged. Mm. That was so fun and so much work. So I think that, you know, we're looking into doing more fundraising and what that would look like and what the community would want to participate in. So that's kind of in the works right now as conversations inside NSDP. Help by having those conversations with your family and your friends. It really starts in our spaces, in our personal lives. I encourage everybody to be okay enough to be in an uncomfortable conversation without feeling like you have to fix it for them, but that they know that there's somebody who's going to believe them and help them on their journey. And if anybody needs somebody to talk to about what those conversations might look like, please come into NSDP. Please come up to the Passage House. We have lots of amazing staff that have a lot of good skill on how to do that.
Well, that was it for the questions that I had, but was there anything else that you wanted to add to this conversation that I didn't inquire about?
I really appreciate having you come and speak to me and bringing a bit more light to this. It's what, you know, obviously I live and work in every day. And so I think that it's really great to have people be curious about it. Mm-hmm. Something that often is very shunned and unaccepted as a part of how we want to see our society. I'm grateful to be honest and open about the fact that we are struggling right now. Mm-hmm. Women, children, men, communities, and the more we can be compassionate and be open to each other, the better things will be.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.